नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद Chapter 18, text 64. Are you showing 54? 64, please. Yeah. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya Shrunu me paramam vachaha Ishtosi me drudhamiti Tato vakshyami te hitam Sarva guhyatamam bhuya Shrunu me paramam vachaha Ishtosi me drudhamiti Tato vakshyami te hitam Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you, my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Purport. The Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential knowledge of the Supersoul within everyone's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of knowledge. Just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the ninth chapter, he has said, Manmanaha, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by a common man, but by one who is actually very dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in all Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of knowledge, and it should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities. The most confidential knowledge that Krishna is about to give Arjuna is, of course, the famous Manmana Bhava Mad Bhaktaha verse, which also appears in a slightly different form, but with practically the same meaning, at the end of the ninth chapter. So here we have, it's at the end of the ninth chapter, which is halfway through the Bhagavad Gita. And here at the end of the 18th chapter. At the end means, yeah, practically Krishna, this is the end of the instruction. Just there's one verse, then another verse, and then Krishna gives a little phala shruti, what the results you'll get from hearing this, and then he finishes off with Sanjay speaking to Dhritarashtra and concluding from the point where Dhritarashtra had begun his question, what did they do when they went to the battlefield? What's going on? And then Sanjay, in the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, tells, well, it's not exactly Bhagavad Gita because it's not spoken by Krishna himself, but it's included according to Amrakana Nanyai. If you have a grove of mango trees and there are a few other trees there, you still call it a mango grove. Even if there are a few chiku trees, you still call it a mango grove. So it's mostly all what's in Bhagavad Gita. It's also mostly spoken by Krishna, although Bhagavad Gita literally means what's spoken by Krishna. So at the end of the last verse included in Bhagavad Gita is Sanjay saying that, well, Krishna's there and Arjuna's there, so there's going to be victory. So forget it, for your sons, they're not going to win. So this is the most confidential part of knowledge. Theoretically, Krishna could have said this to Arjuna right at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, but Arjuna wasn't ready to hear it at this time because he was a bewildered soul in the darkness of ignorance, or appearing to be like that. And of course, Bhagavad Gita was spoken for our benefit, and we are bewildered souls in the darkness of ignorance. Krishna says, I'm going to speak to it to you again. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. My topmost knowledge and topmost instruction. At the end of the ninth chapter, Krishna said that, and then Arjuna, instead of saying, great, well, that's what we should do. But he kindly, for the benefit of us in this material world, probed Krishna about, how do we do that? How do we see you here in this material world? Krishna had already given some idea about that. Rasoham apsu kaunteya, I am the taste in water, and so on. But Arjuna specifically asked how Krishna could be seen through the manifestations in this material world. And therefore, the 10th chapter is there, and in which Krishna describes that anything exceptional in this world can be accepted as a representation of Krishna. And he gives so many examples. Mriganam chamragendro ham, among the animals, I am the king of the animals, namely the lion. And he gives so many examples, and then Arjuna is still taking the position of his consciousness still being in the material, still being attached to the material understanding of God, so he wants to see how Krishna's everything, and Krishna shows the universal form, which is semi-personal, semi-impersonal, because it's Krishna, but it's everything. So then Arjuna asks, well, what's the best way to worship you? Is it best to worship the impersonal absolute or the personal form? And then that forms the 12th chapter. And Krishna elaborates on, and that forms the first part of the 12th chapter, and then the second part is Krishna describing the glories of, there are three parts, aren't there? How the personal and impersonal meditation, and the second part is various ways to approach Krishna, and that his pure devotee, decorated with all good qualities, is very dear to Krishna. Then in the 13th chapter, again, the living being in this material world, how he is in this material world accompanied by the super soul. Krishna manifests himself also in the material world as the super soul. 14th chapter deals with the modes of material nature. Again, more understanding of this material world, how we are to understand it, and of the person who is beyond the material modes of nature. And then in the 15th chapter, Krishna makes the distinction, very clear distinction between himself and the living beings, the jivas. 16th chapter describes mostly the demoniac people. And 17th chapter, again, more discussion of the modes of nature with the three kinds of shraddha, three kinds of faith. And that continues into the 18th chapter. And then we come to this again. The most confident. Krishna speaking so many things, but the real point is to come to this. To always think of Krishna and to surrender to him. And that's the next two verses. And to go to him. So Krishna says, this is my most confidential. This is really the best thing I've got to tell you. I've told you so many things. But now I'm going to tell you, which is really the best. So imagine if you had God in front of you telling you, I'm going to tell you what's for your best benefit. So anyway, there are so many cheaters may come and say, and then there are so many cheaters who come in the public. I'm going to tell you the best benefit. So many cheating so-called gurus. What if you had God yourself standing in front of you saying, now I'm going to give you the formula by which you can get your best benefit. And Krishna says, I'm going to speak Ishtosime Dhridam, because you are you're very close to me. You're very dear to me. So I'm going to speak this to you. Krishna speaks other things to other people. Through the Vedic knowledge, he speaks all kinds of things. Karma, jnana, yoga, worship of different demigods. And through various cheetahs, in a reverse way, they can be understood to be representatives of Krishna. In a reverse way, yeah. For people who want to be cheated, there are so many cheetahs. So Krishna gives them the intelligence by which they can cheat others. And Krishna gives to people who want to be cheated the intelligence by which they think that what the cheaters say is actually true. And although the so-called Satya Sai Baba's popularity has gone down a lot, but it used to be, it's good, something good in this Kali Yuga. Of course, other people have come up. But we used to see that there are many highly intelligent people from the material point of view. Doctors and scientists, ISRO scientists, who believed that Sai Baba was God. Against any logic or reason or shastra, the evidence is that he says so and he does some tricks. And he becomes God. And people, materially intelligent, spiritually, as Prabhupada would say, fool number one. He often said fool number one. So there are many in that category. The most foolish kind of people. So Krishna, he didn't speak this to Duryodhana. If Krishna came to Duryodhana and said, I'll say what's for your best benefit. And Duryodhana, what would he say? Give me a means by which I can kill all the Pandavas. That's what Duryodhana would want, isn't it? Or Dhritarashtra. Huh? What about anyone? You go and you say, now, of course, if Krishna himself came in front of people, they wouldn't recognize him. But yeah, some yogi comes and says, genie in the bottle pops out and says, now you can have whatever you want. What will the average person, just on the spot, what do I want? You can have anything you want. What would they say? There is a story of the woman in the forest collecting firewood. So the women will go in the forest together and collect firewood, and they'll bundle it up. They help each other put on their head, and then they'll go and walk back to the village and either use the firewood themselves or sell it, like that. And so somehow this woman was going, she'd become separated from the other woman. She was going alone through the forest, and she tripped, and the bundle of heavy, heavy bundle. You see these women, little, very thin women, they carry it. I don't think any of us could carry it. They're very strong, these women who do that. So it fell down, and she was in a fix because she'd worked so hard to collect all of that, and it fell down. She could carry it, but to get it up on her head is a big job. So she called out in frustration, "Oh, Govinda, Govinda," because she is, after all, a pious Hindu lady. Govinda, Govinda. So then a beautiful young boy with bluish black color comes in front and says, yes, what do you want? He said, oh, you came, very good. Just put this firewood back on my head. That Govinda, Govinda, when we go to Tirumala, we hear that, Govinda, Govinda, you're calling out, Govinda, Govinda. Everyone goes there for something they want. We go to temples because we want something. So that's pious. But what do people ask for? They could ask for pure devotional service, but people ask for visas for America, pass their exam, cure their illness, and so on. Maybe the visa to America went down after the request went down in Tirumala when Visa Ganesh came up in Chennai. You know about that? You didn't know? Oh! There are 3 trains a day from Mangalore to Chennai. There's a Visa Ganesh. He's best for getting American visas. You could fly also via Bangalore. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna because Arjuna has enough sense to recognize what is the best thing. And even there are many people who read Bhagavad Gita or who comment on Bhagavad Gita, and although it's absolutely clear that the best thing that Krishna is giving is to be his pure devotee, but people, they're envious of Krishna, they don't want that, and they reinterpret it. Just like this Prabhupada, he was so angry against this rascal, as he called him, Dr. Radha Krishna, on this Manmana Bhava Mad Bhaktaha verse in the 9th chapter. Dr. Radha Krishna, in his commentary on Gita, he's supposed to be a very big philosopher, he's famous as the first president of independent India. Was it the first? I believe so.
Second.
Dr. Rajendra Prasad was the first, was it? For all it's worth. So he's famous as the president of India, but before that he was famous as a great philosopher, an Oxford philosopher. So he was a great philosopher, and he wrote his purport or his commentary on that Manmanabhava verse in the 9th chapter, saying that so envious. He wrote that it is when Krishna is saying directly to always think of me, Krishna is giving that instruction, and he says, it is not to the person Krishna that we is not to the person Krishna that we have to think, but the unborn eternal within Krishna. So such a rascal. Such a rascal that Krishna is directly saying, always think of me. And he's so envious that he changes that. And says, don't think of Krishna. Think of the unborn eternal within Krishna, which Krishna didn't say. Krishna makes it so clear and so easy that anyone who knows any Indian language can follow it very... Manmana, then you can... Manmat, that means... to me... Mana, man, think of, madbhakta, it's very easy to understand. It's not difficult Sanskrit at all. It's practically when the children are being taught Sanskrit, this Bhagavad Gita is very easy. Of course, it has a lot of philosophical terms. But the structure of the language is extremely easy. And actually in Bhagavad Gita we find that if you find the vocabulary of Bhagavad Gita, it's only a few words which are being used all the time. There are many, many words which are used again and again in Gita, like Atma, Yoga, Karma, Jnana, Guna. The same words being used. Yajna, of course, Dharma, Sattva, Raja, Tama, all the same words are being used again and again. So it's very easy to understand. So Radha Krishna, he very nice name, huh? Very nice name, but he became a demon. Prabhupada knew him personally. He was a professor in Calcutta, even at Calcutta University, before he went to Oxford. So Prabhupada knew. The Gauriamat people, they knew him, they used to invite him to this and that, invite him to programs which he didn't attend. So we can also think, if Krishna comes directly in front of us and says, well,
Now I'm going to tell you the best thing. Oh, you're going to make me a sannyasi, or you're going to make me a guru, GBC. We may have so many material desires also. We may have so many material desires. There's a story, I don't know where it came from. I heard it from Bhaktacharya Swami many years ago, and I've heard it elsewhere since then. I don't know if it's Puranic. I'll tell it anyway, that maybe if Krishna comes in front of me, I'll ask him for some jamming device for people's phones during classes, because I'm so fed up with people's phones going off in the classes. So the story is that man is very nicely worshipping Krishna, doing his puja every day. So Narad Muni sees him, and Narad Muni comes down out of the sky and says, "Oh, you're worshipping Krishna so nicely. So I can arrange for you to go back to Godhead right now. You're such a great devotee." He said, "Oh, well, not right now. I've got my family responsibility. Come after a little time. got to get my sons and daughters married first of all." So Narada comes after a little time. The man is very old. His sons and daughters are married. He says, "Okay, now you can come with me back to Godhead. You're such a great devotee." He says, No, I can't go right now, because you see the children are newly married, got to give them a little guidance, and the grandchildren are there." So Narada Muni comes another time and finds that he's become a snake in the courtyard, and says, "What happened? How did you become a snake?" I don't know, but anyway, don't ask me to go back to Godhead, because I've got to protect the family." So that's it in short. The idea that someone may appear to be very devoted, but they have so many ulterior motives. A practical example of that we can find in our lives is that we may have the opportunity to serve Krishna, just like there's a whole big city, we have books, we go out and distribute them. But we have other things. Validly, we may have other things to do, but it may be that sometimes we find some excuse not to do it. An anecdote that was told to me by one of my godbrothers many years ago, I think this was even before, probably before Srila Prabhupada passed away from our mortal vision. He was doing book distribution, he's a German devotee, doing book distribution in Germany, where it gets very cold and lots of snow, mostly in Germany in the winter. So he was on a traveling Sanktam party, and one morning it was extremely cold, heavy snow, and they thought, he was the leader of the party, and he thought, "Well, why don't we just take a break today and not go out on book distribution? We can sit and read. We'll do something Krishna conscious." And then he saw the people all going to work, and he thought, "Well, if they can go to work, the men working on the road, digging the road." So he thought, "Well, if they can go out in the cold, digging the road, just to get some money for sense gratification, we can go out in the difficult conditions and give them books, and take the money which they would otherwise use for sense gratification." So what do we want? Actually, that happened in the Mahaprakash of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from Gaya as a very different person. Before he went to Gaya, he appeared to be a cocky young scholar, not very interested in devotion to Krishna. When he came back, he was absolutely intoxicated in love of Krishna. And shortly after that, he wanted to reveal to all the devotees that he is Krishna himself. So he did so in a 21-hour rhapsody, when all the devotees were with him and they were just seeing he's directly Krishna. And then at one point, he gave them, he said, what do you want? What do you, he said to everyone, what do you want? What benediction do you want? So they, and different devotees were asking for different things. That you make me, please give me pure devotional service to your lotus feet. Please give me the association of devotees life after life. Please make me a proper servant of my guru. So many devotees were asking for different benedictions. Just on the spot. They didn't have time to think about it. So we can also think, what do we want? Actually, it's good to ask ourselves from time to time, what do we want? We're here by Srila Prabhupada's mercy in this Krishna conscious movement. What do we want? What is our aim in life? What are we doing? We should always keep it in mind what we are doing, why we are doing. Otherwise, what we are doing, if we don't have a clear understanding of why we're doing it, we may end up with something else. There was one devotee, he's probably passed away now. He was from Madras, as it was known at the time. And he was actually initiated in the Gauriya Math. But he was living in ISKCON. And he did very humble service all day. He was well educated, spoke excellent English, which in the 1970s wasn't so common. But he did very humble menial services, and he just had rags. He wore very poor clothes, but you could give him a lakh of rupees and send him to deliver it, and no problem. He'd go the cheapest way possible and deliver it and come back. But he was very clear to everyone, I'm doing this because I know bhakti is the most powerful process, and I want to go to Swarga. So I'm going to do bhakti very sincerely, and I'll go to Swarga. That was his aim, and no one could convince him otherwise. Then we remember Dhruva Maharaj, his example, that I was searching for broken glass and I got a diamond. He wanted the big kingdom, greater than that of Lord Brahma. That's pretty ambitious for a young boy. He wants a kingdom better than that of Lord Brahma. But then when he got the darshan of Krishna, he thought, oh, what a useless thing I was looking for. What a useless thing I was looking for, but I got Krishna, the best thing. I was looking for little bits of broken glass, and I got the most valuable diamond. That was by the mercy of Narad Muni upon him. So we can all ask ourselves, that, well, what is our aspiration? We may have immediate ones, just like there's an aspiration here. Namnishta Prabhu wants to build a temple for Krishna, Radha Govinda, here in Mangalore. So that's an immediate aspiration. And you want to get that farm in Andhra Pradesh. Well, you've got the land. Now you have to get the money. So that if someone asks you, what do you want? I want a lot of money. Is that why you came to see me? I don't have any. So we may have immediate aspiration, but what is our ultimate, our highest aspiration? Okay, what do you want? I'm not Krishna, but I can ask on behalf. What do you want? Pure devotional service. Okay, you want pure devotion. Sure you want that? It means no material attachments. Every second, completely surrendered to Krishna, whatever happens, under any circumstances. Sure? Draupadi was dragged in the assembly. Her cloth was being torn off. She didn't say, oh, I got to do this. I thought I was a devotee of Krishna, and look what happened. Nothing worse for her could have happened in her life. If anyone had thought, if she could think what's the worst thing possible, she couldn't even imagine. It was unimaginable how in her contaminated period that made it even worse. She was dragged by her hair, the queen. She didn't know about the gambling match. She was dragged by her hair in front of Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, who she'd looked to as her protectors, as very venerable people. And she said, "What is Dharma?" And they wouldn't say. They wouldn't say. She couldn't imagine. Even Bhishma waffled. "Well, it's very difficult to understand Dharma. You know, it's obvious this is the biggest adharma. It's absolutely obvious, but no one would protect her." And she couldn't. She couldn't. No one could have imagined. She didn't say, "Oh, I was a devotee of Krishna. What's the use of Krishna consciousness?" I mean, that's really... Are we ready for that? If we say pure devotion, are we really ready? I mean, it's not likely that someone's going to take you into the middle of Mangalore and strip your clothes off, but anything can happen. Devotees have been tortured, and actually the devotees who try most for Krishna, they usually suffer the most, or at least materially it seems. Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ, Prabhupada gave the example. Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan, he could have lived very comfortably. He took so much trouble, we don't realize. Heart attack, struggle, living among the intoxicated people, no one listening to him in the beginning. Even when he started the movement, there's so many problems actually all the time. We don't hear about that so much. We hear about all the... There were many good things going, many difficult things, so many difficulties Prabhupada had to deal with. So, are we really ready for that? Who dares to pray as Kunti Devi prayed? Vipada santu tashashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yat sat apuna bhava darshanam. Give me more and more difficulties so that I can see you. Then we won't see repeated birth and death. Who can pray like that? Now, I'm not saying don't pray for pure devotional service, but we should know that it's not cheap. It's not that we indulge in all kinds of whimsical things and also have pure devotional service. It's a heavy thing for Arjuna. It was really heavy. Now he's got to kill the people who... He has to kill the people he loved the most. And Krishna's telling him to do it. And Krishna also has love for Bhishma and Drona. And it's very difficult. It may be very difficult for Arjuna to understand. Krishna didn't exactly explain all that. Why? Krishna says, "Well, you have to do what I say, and I'm telling you to fight." But exactly the point that why Bhishma, why Drona, that Arjuna, he brought that objection. That, "Oh, I don't have any problem fighting. I've fought so many times. But why? Why Bhishma? How can I attack him?" And Krishna didn't even exactly answer that point. He just said, it's your duty as a Kshatriya to fight, and you have to do what I say. And he explained to Arjuna why you have to do what I say, and Arjuna was ready to do that. But why exactly? Why is it... why Bhishma? Why Drona? Why anyone else? But why them? But there's no unconditional. We may not even understand everything. Why Krishna is doing things. Unconditional. We should go on praying for pure devotional service and know that we can attain it. But at the same time, we should be aware that we may have to face so many difficulties. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very easy in this Kali Yuga by chanting the holy names, but still, the nature of this material world is that it is difficult, and people in this world are opposed to devotional service. There's an idea at the present time that, well, people are interested in devotional service, so let's preach something else, and then afterwards we'll preach devotional service. But we'll talk about something else, and then when we make friends with people, and then we'll introduce devotional service. But the nature of people is that they're not interested in devotional service. So when we bring that up, then they may object. In Croatia, I believe it was, I was told that devotees did some bridge preaching program, they called it, for about 1 year. They were talking all vague things about self-actualization and controlling anger and all this kind of thing. And then after a year, they introduced Krishna consciousness. And the people who were coming, they said, "What? You're Hare Krishna devotees? You should have told us in the beginning and we would have walked out." And they just walked out right there. So that didn't work. It may work in some cases. But that was one example. Duryodhana, practically you could speak the same philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, not on the battlefield. He just wanted to fight. He was very eager to fight. You could have spoken the same philosophy to Duryodhana, and he might have listened and understood it intellectually and come up with a different conclusion, because that's what everyone in the world does who studies the Vedas. They come up with so many different conclusions. And even the Bhagavad Gita, where it says very clearly, "Manmana, think of me," and Dr. Radha Krishnan has something else to say. And people like to read that Bhagavad Gita because it panders to their egoism and their envy of Krishna. So we have to consider, what do we actually want? It's good to ask ourselves from time to time, what do we actually want? As long as we're in this world, we have various needs. For this body, we have various needs. Maybe for the mind, we have various needs. For those who are in family life, they have various needs for their family. But beyond that, what's ultimate? What is our ultimate need? What do we ultimately want? We may accept so many things in this world for the service of Krishna. We may accept a wife. Someone may accept a wife so they can serve Krishna together with a wife. Or they may accept medicine because they want the body to get healthy, so they can serve Krishna. Of course, there's no guarantee that any material adjustment will work. It may be that the wife turns out to be more of an obstacle than a help in Krishna consciousness. Or it may turn out that the medicine actually makes you more sick. That sometimes happens. I've had experience. But throughout it all, we have to keep it clear that I am meant for serving Krishna. I am not part of this world. And it's also good to have some clear goal. If you go see all these self-help books, they'll tell you that also. Pure devotional service is the goal, but it's somewhat vague, isn't it? I mean, in your own personal life, what are you going to do? That's the point. What are you going to do, actually? What are we going to do for Krishna? Say, okay, I want to be a pure devotee, but then what are we going to do? Here we're in the Sankirtan movement. Krishna wants it spread all over the world. What are we going to do? We have to do something specific. All right, be a pure devotee. But actually, Krishna didn't just tell Arjuna to be a pure devotee. He said, "Ma manusmara yudhyacha." Think of me and fight. He's got something to do for Krishna also. So we should also think, what are we going to do? What are we all going to do for Krishna? It's nice to be a devotee, but what are we going to do to assist in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? that we should all sing. When we're coming newly, that's one thing. It's just like a child. First you have to bring them up to the adult level and educate them. But then they have to do something. It's just like you educate a child and then they're supposed to go and do some work based on the training that they had in the school and this and that. So in the same way, we're getting trained in Krishna consciousness, but then we should do something. And it's not that everyone's going to be a great acharya, but everyone should have some specific service in Krishna's mission, and especially those who are trained as brahmanas, they should they've imbibed this knowledge, and it's their duty to share that with others. So what are you all going to do for Krishna consciousness, for ourselves and for others? You can all think Nam Nishtha Prabhu has an immediate goal, right? Build a temple. But apart from that, you just have to see, okay, Krishna put me here. Prabhu Datta Desh. It's the place given by my Prabhu, by my... So the aim should be, think big. Make everyone in Mangalore Krishna conscious. Make every home a temple. How about that? Every house there should be a temple. That's longer planning. What are you going to do? Cooperate with Nam Nishtha Prabhu. Okay, he can lead you like that. What about all of you? Your grihasthas? Can you do more? Bringing up your family in Krishna consciousness, that's good. Can you do more? For Krishna, we're not going to ask you to go and fight in a battle. Not yet, anyway. You never know, it might happen, but probably not. But anyway, preaching Krishna consciousness is like a fight in many ways. Fighting against ignorance. Okay, so we'll finish this class with a question. It's supposed to be giving answers, but we'll finish with a question. What are you going to do? What's your aim? What's your aspiration for serving Krishna? There are so many things to do for spreading the Sankirtan movement. What about the ladies? What are they going to do? Going to be pure devotees? What else?
Sixty-four
rounds. 16's okay.
Yeah, but then I don't know.
Well, Prabhupada didn't say no. He said 16's okay. You can chant 16 and go back to Godhead by Prabhupada's grace. If you chant more, that's nice, but there's so many other things to do. Ladies, that they are all gurus, right? Women gurus, right? Isn't it? First guru is the mother, right? So that's an important job. Bringing up children in Krishna consciousness. Very important. The women are all out being airline pilots and politicians, and who's going to look after the children? Most important role for that goes with the women's body is to be a mother. And guru, so that's their important role. That's their first important role. They can do other things also, but Krishna conscious and make your children Krishna conscious also. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anyone like to say anything? Question, comment, protest? Anything? No? All right then, we'll finish. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Vancha Kalpatarupyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.